This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When we report on controversial issues like vaccines, we sometimes hear from callers who say that they want the shots independently tested, independently verified, because they just don't believe what the government tells them. They don't believe the safety trials, the efficacy tests, the doctor recommendations. And, you know, it might be easy to write off these people as just conspiracy theorists, people who don't trust the government and never will. But perhaps there is a kernel of truth to that mistrust. My next guest, a journalism professor, writes at Slate that, quote, the FDA has repeatedly hidden evidence of scientific fraud, not just from the public, but also from its most trusted scientific advisors, even as they were deciding whether or not a new drug should be allowed on the market, unquote. Charles Seif is professor at New York University. The full investigation is published in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. And he writes of cases where the Food and Drug Administration uncovered faked x-rays, fabricated data, and unreported amputation. But these revelations, he writes, never saw the light of day. Why not? Why don't the government watchdogs let the public know, alert the journals, the scientists, when something goes wrong? Charles Seif is with us. He's author of Virtual Unreality and, as I say, journalism professor at NYU. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let me just read a statement the FDA sent us when we asked them to come on the program to talk with us about it. They declined to provide a spokesperson for our segment, but sent us this statement, quote, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is committed to increasing the transparency of compliance and enforcement activities with the goal of enhancing the public's understanding of the FDA's decisions and fostering industry's understanding of the need for consistent, safe, effective, and high-quality products. They write that they're convening a working group to, quote, further explore transparency issues, unquote. How do you react to that statement?
Well, I'd say that it's good that they're working towards transparency, but it would have helped to come on the show and talk, or perhaps even talk to me. They actually refused to talk to me as well. So I think it's the actions that speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your study. How did you get started? What did you uncover?
Well, I've been interested in follies and foibles of science for a number of years, and I've been looking into pharmaceuticals and the drug industry, and as with any human endeavor, sometimes people fake things. And to their credit, the FDA sends out inspectors to look at clinical trials to see whether they're getting the wool pulled over their eyes, and they find it every so often. So I decided with my class to take a look at some of the documents that come out of these inspections and see whether we could link these to clinical trials in the peer-reviewed literature. And if, in fact, we were able to link them, well, was what the FDA was finding reflected in the peer-reviewed literature? Were anyone saying, oh, well, we see FDA saw that there was some faking in one clinical site. We have to take this data out. And we found that very seldom did that happen. In the vast majority of cases, even when the FDA was finding very serious fraud, including fabrication, adverse events that weren't reported, things like that, in only about 4% of the time was that reflected in the peer-reviewed literature.
So it's 96% of the time they were not telling us about things they found.
That's correct. And that's the of the studies that we were able to link.
Yeah.
Because most of these reports are extremely heavily redacted, we weren't able to figure out which trials or which drugs or which companies were involved in the first place.
Give us an idea of some of the instances of fraud you uncovered. Some were serious, some not so serious.
Yes. It ranges all over the place. And some of the problems might be something with informed consent. And there were a number of cases where the doctors did not get informed consent of the patients. Mm-hmm. And that might not affect the outcome of the study, but that is to the FDA serious. On the other end of the spectrum, there's outright fraud. Like there was a case where inspectors found that they were the researchers were supposed to be taking photographs of retinas. And they found that they weren't matching other documents, so that they deduced that these were faked photographs. And so the findings based upon those fake photographs were essentially null. Mm-hmm. There were some grotesque things like an amputated limb that wasn't reported as an adverse event. There was even one case of criminally negligent homicide based upon a faked report The faked report let the patient into the study. He should never have been in the first place. He got the injection of the drug and died very shortly thereafter. And the researcher went to jail. But none of that is available to doctors unless they know exactly where to look in the legal literature.
So is it a question of what they call transparency? They use that term. Is it a question of being transparent and need to become more transparent?
I think that's part of it. I think that with science in general, any scientific endeavor, the ability to react to a challenge is, okay, here's what I've done. Here's what I know. You can take a look at that. And anytime there's secrets, trade secrets or commercial secrets, that gets in the way. And the FDA, and to be fair, there's a lot of money going to pharmaceuticals. There's a lot of commercial interest. There's intellectual property. So not all of this is open. But the FDA seems to react in a way that is extremely afraid of infringing on anything that might be perceived as damaging commercial interests. And the public health part of its mission, which was also in your statement, suffers as a result.
How did they react when you asked them to comment on the things that you found?
Generally, they dodged the questions. I asked some very point-blank things, like there are several instances where I know that something on an FDA label, an FDA-approved label of a drug, is wrong. It is wrong because it's based upon data that were gathered that the FDA knows is fraudulent, and yet it is on the label. I asked them about that. I never got a straight answer.
But they didn't rebut it by saying you are wrong about it.
No, they did not say that.
They didn't, yeah.
They talked around it. They said, we know that there was a problem with the site. We did a review. After all was said and done, we thought that it wasn't clinically significant. And so everything's hunky-dory without saying, well, this datum is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this your investigation in some way vindicates people who don't trust government science? They can now point to your study and say, see, they found that the FDA is not being transparent. Why should we believe what the government says?
Well, that's one of my big fears. I vaccinate my children. I think it's extremely important. I'm angry at the anti-vaccine movement. And I know that a study questioning the transparency and honesty sometimes of scientific imprimatur of science is damaging to that reputation. It does give fuel to the anti-vaccine industry. But I think as any human endeavor, science has to be questionable, that you have to be able to challenge authority. And when the authority is abused, you have to call it out. And in this case, I believe that there were abuses of authority, that the FDA is being very paternalistic and saying, trust us, we know that these drugs are safe and effective, and even kind of deceptive when they say, we know that the studies show it's true, and in fact, that's not the case.
Our number 844-724-8255, if you'd like to comment on this. You can also tweet us at SciFry. And so you're fearful that people will condemn all of government research just because of this, all the stuff that you've uncovered. It shouldn't be carried out.
No, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. FDA has done a good job, generally speaking, at keeping us from killing ourselves with all sorts of very toxic chemicals. So they do, by and large, a good job. But these are some significant flaws. And there are problems that are emerging in various places that they're very slow to correct. Mm-hmm. For example, right now there is a scandal ongoing that's very big in Europe. Roughly 700 drugs in various dosages are being considered for being pulled from the market because of a big fraud case in India. There are some 40 drugs in the United States that are affected by that same scandal. In Europe, you know every single one of those drugs. They're published on the FDA equivalent website. Here, the FDA is completely silent. They're just not saying a thing. And I think that's damaging because we do need to be able to trust the FDA. And when they're not transparent, we lose that trust.
You think that they should be required, that the FDA should require the scientists, the authors of a research paper to say everything that they know about the research, even if it's damaging to them, to that study?
I do. Generally speaking, I, 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 whenever the FDA uncovers fraud, I mean, there should be a mechanism for that to go out there. Mm-hmm. That I think, it, for example, if they just posted on the clinical trials website where every major clinical trial is registered, just put a link out there, I think that would discharge their duty. I think the journals have a duty. I think the scientists have a duty, too. The scientists, when they come up with a bad inspection, they should be able to tell the journals, look, something happened. You should just mention this in the journal. But that just doesn't happen.
Were you surprised yourself at all the stuff that you uncovered?
I was.
You've been a journalist forever, almost as long as I have, which is forever, you know?
Yeah, no, I knew it was going on. I didn't know that it was this bad and it was this graphic. I mean, when you go through this, and these were the worst of the worst. So I'm not seeing, I mean, this was less than 1% of inspections all told. But it's like Scientists Gone Wild video and going through this. It's very depressing.
And your students, were they equally, must have been just shocked?
They were shocked. They were shocked. And they were skeptical when I started class and said, this semester we're going to find some fraud. They didn't think they would find it. And then by the end, they were thinking, oh, where are we going to stop finding fraud?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Phoenix. William, hi. Welcome to Science Friday. Hi there.
Hey, I just had a quick comment just regarding, I don't want to sound like one of the aforementioned conspiracy theorists. I don't want to spread unscientific attitudes. But just a reminder of how much influence the pharmaceutical drug industry has in the United States. Over 90%, and I think it's well over, like over 95% of the synthetic opioid painkillers that are consumed in the United States. And one of them, I wish I could remember which one, but one of the synthetic opioid painkillers that's really common, literally days before the patent for that drug expired so that generics could be manufactured, it was taken off the market by the FDA for safety reasons because the company that made it had formulated a drug that was almost exactly the same, but it was slightly harder to grind into a powder, ostensibly to reduce the potential for abuse. But that, for such a small change, to give that company so many more years to produce the drug without competition from generics, literally within a couple of days before, you know, it would have been allowed to be produced, mm-hmm. it seems like there are multiple issues with the FDA process.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I can't speak to that particular example, but there's no question that money and power is corrupting influence on the process of science. And there is a lot of money and power in the pharmaceutical industry. And that's part of the reason why I think that's transparency. That is something of a guard, that if the FDA opens its books, then it's less likely to have that much of an effect.
Mm-hmm. There's a tweet coming in from Bhakti who says, how often does Congress tie the hands of the FDA because they do not want them stepping on the feet of the big drug lobby?
Well, you get pulls in both directions in Congress. Mm-hmm. Congress is not monolithic. In fact, some of the biggest critics of the FDA are in Congress. Like every 5-7 years, like clockwork, there's this big set of hearings after a drug scandal, and Senators Grassley and Joe Barton and a whole bunch of hold up the commissioner's feet to the fire and accuse him of perjury or whatever. And there's reform promised, and maybe there's a few commissions that are convened, committees that are convened, but nothing fundamentally changes. There's some interesting legislation that does improve things, like the FDAAA, which was passed in 2007, actually increases transparency. But mm-hmm. I think that there's a regulatory capture issue going on where you've got a regulator that is increasingly drawn into the orbit of the industry that it regulates. And that's a natural thing, but it's very damaging.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. If you just joined us, we're talking with Charles Seif, journalism professor at NYU and author of an investigation published in the journal JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, which talks about the FDA repeatedly hiding evidence of scientific fraud. Where do you go from here? Can you follow this up? I mean, you don't pull any punches in this report. No ifs, no maybes. It's straight down the middle.
Well, I've got a number of Freedom of Information Act requests in which I'm trying to get the information that's missing.
What's missing?
Well, I was able to pick around 600 documents, and we were only able to decipher roughly 100 of them and point them to which studies there are because they're highly redacted. I'm trying to get those redactions removed. If I'm successful, then I will extend this study. If not, I might have to fight to get those redactions in other ways.
Could you find a friend in Congress who could help open that door for you?
That is one possibility. Also, lawsuits are another possibility. And I have sued over FOIA issues before. So I strongly believe that the FDA is wrong legally on this one, and they should be brought to account.
Is it simply that, the easiest situation is that the FDA would give you the documents that you're asking for? And they're not, they say they're not. Aren't they a public agency? They're supposed to have transparency. They'd give you what you ask. You paid for it. We all paid for it.
Yes, but they are bound by the laws of freedom of information. And one of them is if something that is called confidential commercial information is in a document, it must be redacted. However, confidential commercial information doesn't include something which is just embarrassing or breaking the law. It's a bit of information which the affirmative use of which causes damage to the company by a competitor. So it does not cover the protocols which you find fraud. And the FDA, it depends on their interpretations of their lawyers, but I think that if they were honest with themselves, they would realize that that's not a valid way, a reason to withhold this information.
So you need some white knight to come out of someplace, Congress in Washington or someplace, and help you get this stuff a lot easier than having to sue the government.
It would be nice.
All right. Anybody react so far? Have you had any nibbles, people who might want to help you?
I have had some interest with a freedom of information lawyer. I've had some whistleblowers contact me and say there's some interesting stuff you should look into. I've had some lawyers, product liability lawyers, saying we're very interested. There's a lot of people who have interest, but I don't know where it's going to go from here.
All right. We'll follow it with you, Charles.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So Charles Seif is author of A Virtual Unreality, professor of journalism at NYU, and author of an article in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine, and you can read a synopsis of it on the Slate website. Great article there, too, Charles. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
I appreciate it.